Good afternoon. Welcome to our new Thursday Parsha teleconference. I would like to share a few thoughts on Parshas Metzora as we approach it this coming Shabbos. The first one is based on a very famous Medrash at the beginning of the Parsha. The Parsha, again, deals with Tzaras, a continuation of the discussion that we had in last week's Parsha, beginning in Tazria, focusing mostly on the process of how the Metzora becomes Tahor again. That's the focus of this week's Parsha. And Chazal have a very famous Medrash that they tell us. The Medrash tells us that there was a story of a Rochel, there was a spice peddler who was once traveling near the city of Tzipori, and he was screaming out, "Man boy lemizban samchayim, who wants to purchase, who wants to buy from me the elixir of life as something which is going to cause long life?" And people were odkin alei, they were pushing, they were shoving in order to try and come close to him in order to purchase this. And Rabbi Yanai, the great Rabbi Yanai, was sitting there, and he heard this person making this announcement, and he heard that for sale is going to be this special potion or whatever it may be in order to merit a long life. And he says to the person, "I want to, come here, come and sell it to me." And the Rochel, the spice peddler, said to him, "Eincha zakuk laze, you don't need it. You're not somebody who requires this." But Rabbi Yanai was bothered. He said, "What do you mean? I also want to live. I also want a long life." Hifzer bo Rabbi Yanai barochel, and he was adamant, and he refused to take a no for an answer, and he pushed, metaphorically, he pressured the rochel to sell to him. Achahotzi lo harochel sefer tehillim, until the spice peddler came and took out a sefer tehillim, v'hera lo asapsukim, and he showed him the psukim. What does the pasuk say? Mi ha'esha chafetz chayim, ohev yomim liros tov, who is the one who desires life, who wants to see long, good days? Nitzur l'shoncha meira, usfasecha midaber mirma, that you should watch the way you speak, and sur meira v'asei tov, and move away from bad, and you should do good. And the Medrash concludes, and the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai said, Kol yoma hayisi korei ha-pasuk hazeh, all my days I read this pasuk, v'lo hayisi yodeya heichanu pashut, I didn't know how to understand it. Ad sheba rochel zeh v'hodiyo, until this rochel, the spice peddler, came along and informed him, mi ho isha chavetz chayim, that who is the one who desires life, that's what this pasuk is all about. So I wanted to share with you two thoughts related to this Medrash. It seems very troubling. How come Rabbi Yanai didn't know shot in this pasuk? What was so difficult about what Rabbi Yanai had thought? And what was it that was nischadish? What was it that this peddler taught him that he didn't know beforehand? The first idea comes from Pincus. He writes in his Perush, says that sometimes there are ideas that are so foundational and so pashut, they're simple, but somehow when we hear them, and when we hear them again, and we can internalize the lessons of those psukim, it has a profound effect on us. And it wasn't that Rabbi Yanai never realized that Nitzor Lashon Chameira, that speaking Lashon Hara was problematic, and that avoiding Lashon Hara is going to be something which one should strive for in life. But it was the effect of suddenly taking that idea to heart. Even if it was a simple idea, Rabbi Yanai is teaching us, and maybe Chazal are reflecting to us, that sometimes we look for the big things, and we try to look for the grandiose idea, and we want something, we want to hear a big chiddush, we want to hear a new philosophical idea, we want something big, but sometimes it's going over and truly appreciating the simplest ideas, making sure that the basics are something that we appreciate. That's very important in life as well. And that was what Chazal is telling us. Rabbi Yanai says, you know what, I read the pasuk until now, but I didn't realize the full extent, the power of those words. And then when you formulate it in such a way with this whole presentation of the Sama Chaim, that's something that I understood. An important lesson to keep in mind in terms of the power of sometimes even just the simplest ideas, when we internalize, when we think about them, it can have a profound effect on us. Rav Sternbach in his Sefer and Chumash suggest an alternative, another explanation as to what it was that Rabbi Yanai gained from this peddler. And he suggests that until now, Rabbi Yanai understood that one has to avoid speaking Lashon Hara. But how do you avoid speaking Lashon Hara? One approach to avoiding speaking negatively of others is Al-Yedei She-Yoshvim Badar Mishrachakim Mechevras Anashim, is to avoid people, is to become a loner, is to live separate from everybody else, Badar, alone. Just like the Metzora who speaks Lashon Hara has to be Badar, has to be alone outside of the Machanan, So too, maybe that's what one should do. If one wants to avoid speaking Lashon Hara, if one needs to be careful about what he says, so one way of doing that is to avoid interaction with other people. But the peddler here was teaching, and what was showing through the psukim was teaching Rabbi Yannai is not just sur meira, not just avoiding that which is bad, va'asei tov, but positively, in a positive way, acting towards other people and being able to engage other people, being able to have relationships with other people, bakesh shalom v'rodfeyu, to be the person who's making peace between others, that's also a way of avoiding Lashon Hara. If we engage people and we're part of the chevra, we're part of society, we're part of the community, avoiding Lashon Hara doesn't have to mean that we can't have friends, that we can't be with other people, but we do have to realize that the way in which we approach them has to be different. And if we're trying to help things out, and in a positive sense we're trying to contribute, then that's a way of using our words, of making sure that the words that we have are the sam hachayim, and that the words that we speak are going to be productive words, are going to be positive words, are going to be ways that when we speak we'll make people feel better, and not going to be situations in which, rachmana litzlan, our words are going to hurt or damage anybody else. Well, the shift in the next thought to something else that the Torah tells us when it comes to the Metzorah. Part of what the Metzorah has to do is that when the Metzorah is approached by somebody else, he has to be alone, but he has to call out, Tamei Tamei Yikra. He has to call out that I'm Tamei. You have to stay away from me. I don't want anybody to go, nobody should come close to him. And apparently the sins that led to this Tzaras, or the Lashon Hara, whatever else it was, that contributed were so terrible that he even has to embarrass himself so much. He even has to say Tamei Tamei Yikra. It's not enough that he has to wear torn clothes, that he has to let his hair grow, that he has to be outside, Michutz Machan, outside of the camps, but even has to announce it. But Chazal have a different approach. Why does he have to call out Tamei Tamei Yikra? So Chazal tell us the reason that he has to call it out is Lehodia Tsa'aro L'Rabin, is to inform everybody else of the tsar, the pain, the affliction that he's going through. V'Rabim Yivakshu Allah of Rachamim, and that by informing others, they should then beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should daven to Hashem to have mercy on him. So it's not part of the punishment, or it's at least not only part of the punishment that he has to pronounce for everybody to hear that he is that he's tamei, but rather it's to inform other people and to ultimately benefit him, that he should be able to be exposed to other people in a way that they will then respond by asking for rachamim, by davening to Hashem to have mercy. And what Chazal have done with this comment is they almost shifted the onus of appreciating tzaras from the afflicted to the audience, the people who are witnessing this person being punished. Now, oftentimes we hear of somebody in a difficult situation, a difficult predicament, and we want to jump to action, and we try to think of different ways in which we can help, whether it's financial, whether it's food, whether it's job, whether it's taking care of the children, whatever it may be, depending on the situation, we want to help out. We want to do things for other people. But sometimes we're stuck, and sometimes we can't think of ways to alleviate the pain, and there's not much that we can do. Or even in the cases where we are helping, what Chazal are telling us here is that part of the responsibility is Yivakesh Olav Rachamim, is to incorporate them into our tefillos, and to make sure that we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the person's behalf. And not only is it a lesson coming out of this, but the Gemara Brachas and Daf Yabez says that kol she'efshel levakesh rachamim al chaveru, anybody who has the ability to ask for mercy on another ve'eino mevakesh, and he doesn't go ahead, nikra chotei, he's called a sinner. Why? That's such a harsh statement. So one sort of Pinkus explains this with a mashal. He says, imagine if you work in a large company and you have the privilege of dining daily with the CEO. He's an old friend. You grew up together. You work together and you enjoy each other's company. And you have another friend who's in the same field, who's come on hard times, and he's looking for a job, and it happens to be something which fits perfectly into this company's line of work. So could you possibly fathom not mentioning it during one of these casual lunches? You don't have to beg. At least mention it in passing. How could you not? You realize somebody else is suffering. It's a no-brainer that you have something that you can contribute. Maybe at least try. He says that's what it is also with our relationship with Hashem. We have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear our tefillos. He's open to hearing our tefillos. And for us not to take advantage when we see that somebody else is in need reflects poorly on us as well. And not only have we not help the other person, but it's nikra chote as well. And that's why the mitzvah has to be lehodia tzaro l'rabim. He expresses the difficulty that he's going through to everybody else, so that the people hearing of the difficult situation that he's in, should respond and should appropriately help out by davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps one last idea. The Torah says in the Perek Yudal Pasuk Gimel that the Kohen will go out v'hinei nirpa nega hatzaras v'natzaruah, and he'll discover and he'll see that the nega tzaras, the tzaras, has been healed from the tzaruah. And many of the Mefarshim ask, why does it say that the tzaras has been healed from the tzaruah? He's not a tzaruah anymore. He's not the leper anymore. Rav Schwab in his Perush on Chumash tries to explain, and he says, based on something which a few people have asked about, and I'm sure is worth thinking about, which is, what is this tzaras? Is this tzaras? Is this a medical problem? What type of issue is this? And what he suggests is that in the world there are two different types of tzaras, that you have a natural disease of tzaras, whether it's leprosy or something else. And that is a contagious disease. That's something which you do need to separate from other people. But he says that's not what our tzaras is that we're talking about. There's a second one where the Torah says it's the Kohen who decides. The Kohen decides, is it Tameh, is it Tahar? And it's a spiritual disease, as the Ramban explains, that it's something which comes out of becoming distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says you find when it comes to Naaman, that in that story, he was... certainly is talking about a practical, a disease of tzaras, and has nothing to do with the spiritual affliction. The arba mitzorim that are talked about in the Haftorah, that are the Pesach Hashar, why were they going to the Pesach Hashar? The halacha is, to the entrance of the gate, the halacha is, they were in the Shomron, and the halacha is that if it's not a city which has existed at the time of Yehoshua, you don't have to go outside of the city. So why would they be going outside? So it's clear that the reason they went outside was a medical reason. It was because that they were contagious, and it shouldn't be something which is spread. What the Ramban tells us in last week's Parsha, in Perek Yigimel and Pesach Mem Zayin, is that B'yos Yisrael Shleimim Hashem, when the Jewish people are whole with Hashem, then we have the opportunity, when we become distant, to be reminded through tzaras. And this one is not a medical problem in terms of its cause and the way it's treated. This is something which is not a contagious disease. That's why the halacha is that we don't look at the nega. The Kohen doesn't look on a regel when there's going to be a problem with Simchas Yom Tov or a chasan during Sheva Brachos. You don't look at it. Why does the Kohen not examine it? Shouldn't we determine if he's contagious or not? No. We don't have to make that determination because they're not talking about something which is a physical ailment. There are two different types. And he suggests that maybe that's what the Pasuk is saying, that the Pasuk is saying is that when the Kohen looks at it, there can be times when it's v'hinei nirpa nega tzaras minat tzaruah. It could be that the nega tzaras has disappeared. Maybe the medical condition has disappeared, but he's still the opposite. It could be that that he's gone through the process of tshuva, and he's still suffering from maybe he caught the disease which exists on a physical plane, but the simanei tuma, that which the Kohen is responsible for, of bringing him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the spiritual disease which this came as a reminder for, that is no longer a problem. Just maybe conclude with a little trivia question. There is a body part which is mentioned in this week's Parsha that's not mentioned anywhere else in the Torah. So as you're looking over the Parsha this coming week, try to figure out what is that body part mentioned in this week's Parsha, not mentioned anywhere else in the Torah. And everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and we should all merit being able to feel the Kedusha of Shabbos.